Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 45 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
We want to see more legislators join us that never joined before.
Rowan County teachers are in the state capitol today to rally to urge legislators to fully fund the state pension system.
Attorneys for the Marshall County shooter attempted to move his case back to juvenile court today.
An East Kentucky lawmaker says the legislature won't have time to tackle tax reform this session.
A local woman who rescues dogs is speaking out against the owner of the Trixie Foundation.
Rowan County's judge executive says a local prison should be expanded.
In sports, the University of Kentucky will face Davidson in the first round of the NCAA tournament on Thursday.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A few flurries possible, but clearing overnight with lows in the mid-20s. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Marshall County High School shooting suspect Gabe Parker appeared in court today as his attorney tried to move his case to juvenile court. According to WKYT, Parker's attorney argued that their client's constitutional rights were violated when he was transferred to circuit court, but prosecutors say they had enough factors to enable the state's automatic transfer statute. Kentucky law states a child of at least 14 accused of a felony in which a firearm was used must be transferred to circuit court for trial as an adult if the district court finds probable cause to believe the child committed the offense alleged. Parker, who turned 16 on March 3rd, is accused of killing two and injuring more than a dozen at Marshall County High School on January 23rd. Parker is ineligible for the death penalty because he is a juvenile. He could face life in prison without parole, and the case will stay in adult court for now.
A public informational meeting is scheduled this week for former clients of Eric C. Kahn. Attorney Ned Pillersdorf says notices are being sent out to more than 1,900 former clients asking for medical records within 30 days. Pillersdorf says most of his clients are unaware of how to respond to the record request. He says if they send their medical records within 30 days, they may not have to have a hearing regarding the benefits. Pillersdorf says he has been told the Social Security Administration wants to begin these hearings in May. To help former clients, Apple Red Legal Aid and Pillersdorf's office will hold an informational meeting on Thursday at 3 in the afternoon. The meeting will be held at the Old Pike County Courthouse in the fiscal courtroom. Pillersdorf says he is also hoping to recruit attorneys for clients who end up going through hearings. Any volunteers are encouraged and welcome to attend the meeting as well.
Teachers across the Commonwealth traveled to Frankfort this afternoon to support pension reform. A hotly contested Senate Bill 1 was sent back to the State and Local Government Committee before the legislature recessed for the weekend. Rowan County Middle School teacher Allison Sloan made the trip today. She says lawmakers underestimated teachers and state workers when they created Senate Bill 1.
They've awakened a sleeping giant. Many teachers, majority of them, I think, are definitely out of their comfort zone and having to speak up for their rights for the first time in their lives, and they're using their voices. And I personally hope that out of this comes that teachers realize that we're not just teachers and that we're going to, you know, stand up for our rights and that legislators are making decisions that affect what we do in our classroom every day, and we've got to be more involved with that.
Sloan says the snow day today made it easier for more teachers to travel to the rally this afternoon. The House and Senate reconvened at 4 o'clock.
The House Minority Leader says Democrats are fighting for educators. With hundreds of educators holding a rally in the Capitol Annex Friday morning, the Senate went into recess without voting on House Bill 1. That's the bill that would change the state's pension for retired and current teachers. Moorhead Representative Rocky Adkins said Democrats support those who attend the rally.
You have ignited energy all across this Commonwealth, to Pikeville, to Paducah. You don't need to give now. Your voices need to be heard louder than ever before. This House Democratic Caucus stands with you. We're here today. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be with you to the very end.
The Senate voted to send their version of the bill back to the State and Local Government Committee.
With Kentucky's new biennial budget still incomplete and pension reform still not finalized, an Eastern Kentucky state representative says there's no way the General Assembly can tackle the complexities of tax reform before the end of the 2018 session. Republican Jill York of Grayson says that issue will have to be dealt with at a later date.
However, that does not mean that we can't come with some initiatives some, as the chairman of A&R called them, a stopgap, something that enables us to hold on to what we hold dear and give us the time to then tackle that comprehensive plan, perhaps in a special session down the road, as our friends in the Senate there are alluding to.
York believes the House's budget proposal, which includes a new tax on prescription opioids and a hike to Kentucky's cigarette tax, would provide key programs with the funding they need while buying lawmakers the time required to put together a comprehensive tax reform plan.
A state capitol Bible study invitation is upsetting some lawmakers. Haley Hansen has more.
Kentucky legislators got an invitation in their mailboxes titled, quote, "Why the President is Righteous and Those Against Him Are Wicked." The invitation also came with a cartoon of a man reading the paper and a woman asking to see the fake news section. Lee Watts, who wrote the invitation, said the Bible study was not about President Trump, but about the biblical character of Daniel. Democrat Representative Mary Lou Marzian says the invitation was an inappropriate way to market the Bible study. I'm Haley Hansen.
Members of the Kentucky House are exploring a potential bill that would ban abortions on fetuses diagnosed with prenatal Down syndrome. Melinda Gibbons Prutney sponsored House Bill 455. She says the process of aborting fetuses with Down syndrome is discriminatory. ACLU Kentucky Advocate Director Kate Miller spoke against the bill. She says the government shouldn't be involved in private decisions.
So let me be clear. This bill would threaten women's health and women's lives by making abortions harder to obtain for people that need them. If this bill passes, it won't reduce the need for abortion in our communities. What will happen is that women will lack access to safe, qualified providers.
The bill would ban abortions on fetuses testing positive for prenatal abortion, except in the case of a medical emergency. Committee members did not vote on the measure, saying it needs further explanation.
The president of the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education is retiring. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Bob King was named president of the council in January 2009. Since his inauguration, he has gained national recognition for building stronger relationships with K-12 education, as well as focusing campus attention on improvements for student success. King has also led the development and implementation of Kentucky's first performance funding model. Other accomplishments of King include being the former chancellor of the State University of New York, serving as president and CEO of the Arizona Community Foundation, serving as the chair and vice chair of the executive committee of the state higher education executive officers, and currently serving as a member of the board of trustees of A.T. Still University. King says he is profoundly grateful for being given the opportunity to serve the council and that the past 10 years have been the most fulfilling in his career. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
A woman involved in animal rescue says the owner of the Trixie Foundation is using dogs to run a con against area residents. 67-year-old Randy Skaggs has been charged with 179 counts of second-degree animal abuse and not vaccinating dogs against rabies. Julia Sharp is a founding member of Saving the Animals of Rowan County. She says there is no end in sight for the efforts to bring Skaggs to justice.
We are not going to stop. We are going to push until they open a proper investigation and look at all of his crimes. We are going to see this through until the bitter end. This man has to be held accountable.
Sharp says if someone believes animal abuse is occurring, they should contact the local animal control officer.
The tourism industry is the third largest revenue producer in Kentucky, and Rowan County has been recognized as one of its leaders. Officials with the Kentucky travel industry were in Moorhead Friday to present the Economic Engine Award. The award is given to counties that have had a significant economic impact on the local economy from tourism. KTI Association President Hank Phillips says increasing tourism within a community helps small business, but also gets down to the family level.
The tax revenue generated by tourism in this state saves Kentucky taxpayers, on average, in a household of four, over $1,100 a year. So it's not just the money that goes into our pockets, but it's the taxes that are generated that offset what we'd otherwise have to pay or give up.
Phillips says $14.5 billion is generated by tourism in Kentucky each year, which is just below the healthcare and automotive industries for revenue.
Experts predict Kentucky's prisons will run out of cell space by mid-2019. And Round County Judge Executive Walter Blevins believes expanding Elliott County's Little Sandy Correctional Complex could help with that problem. The former state legislator points out that the Little Sandy, which currently has beds for 1,014 inmates, could easily be expanded to hold at least another 1,000 of them.
When we built that facility, it was built with the intention of enlarging the, or at least increasing the beds in that facility, because the cafeteria, the gyms, and all that stuff are already built up to spec for a larger facility.
Governor Bevin, however, has said Kentucky will not build any new prisons and wants to instead reopen three privately run prisons that were closed several years ago. Rowan County's new jail opens this May. It will have beds for nearly 300 inmates, over three times the listed capacity of the county's current lockup.
Maysville will become the first Green Dot city in Kentucky. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the City Commission decided last Thursday to move forward with Green Dot. The program was developed at the University of Kentucky and is the only domestic violence prevention program to focus on a technique known as bystander intervention. Bringing Green Dot to Maysville will begin with the implementation of a core team that will offer workshops and training programs. The team will then move to raise awareness among the community and developing relationships between Green Dot and local businesses and organizations. The Green Dot program has already been implemented in schools across the Commonwealth. For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Maysville will receive one of 14 grants aimed at historic preservation in Kentucky communities. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports that the grants come from certified local government programs and it is administered by the Kentucky Heritage Council and the State Historic Preservation Office. According to the KHC, the grant is one of 14 that are valued at an average of $6,000 each, with a local match of $4,000, bringing the total to $10,000. Matt Wallingford is the city manager of Maysville.
Since the city is a certified local government with the state of Kentucky, we're eligible for this grant on a yearly basis. The past 2 years, we've received the grant, and we've utilized it to expand our National Register Historic District. We will be using this grant to do a building assessment on the eastern end of our downtown.
The funds are expected to go toward a survey to assess properties located in Maysville's east end. With the information gathered during the assessment, the local government hopes to expand the boundary of the downtown National Register of Historic Districts.
Kentucky Utilities has released the planned route for an electrical upgrade for the East Park Industrial Park. The proposed route for the transmission line will connect to the existing Chadwick-Kess transmission line near Kentucky Electric Steel north of Interstate 64. The line then travels northwest, staying to the right of the Champion Fast Pitch Athletic Complex. The line then continues north, crossing Straight Creek Road, Buena Vista Drive, and ending at the proposed substation along S. Commerce Drive in the industrial park. KU spokeswoman Allison Barker says the project will take some time to complete.
It's a 3 miles of 138 kilovolt transmission line and a substation, and we plan to start construction this fall and complete it by the end of 2019. It will involve some construction. It's not just putting up a couple poles.
Barker says Kentucky Power plans to file for a certificate of public convenience and necessity with the Kentucky Public Service Commission this spring. KU hopes to begin construction this fall.
Kentucky 2, just west of Olive Hill, was closed Friday to begin repairs on a damaged bridge. Work is expected to conclude tomorrow if the weather permits. The bridge in question has experienced erosion damage over time, forcing the Department of Highways to take action following an inspection. Alan Blair is with the Kentucky Department of Highways.
We know it's an important route to keep open, so we immediately moved into repair mode and, you know, began that on Friday just after we closed it.
To avoid the closure, commuters can either take the AA Highway and US 60 through Grayson or use Kentucky 59 as a detour.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 26. Tomorrow, a chance of flurries earlier in the day, followed by a chance of rain showers after 3 p.m., cloudy with a high near 38. And tomorrow night, a chance of rain showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 22 degrees. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 43 degrees, in Ashland, 48, Winchester, 42, Inez, 42, and here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 45 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the 2018 Spring Sings Showcase is returning to Moorhead State University this April, hosted by the Phi Mu Alpha fraternity. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
MSU students are getting the opportunity to show off their vocal talents at this year's Spring Sing Showcase. Phi Mu Alpha member and spokesman Joseph Kanagenhelm is representing the event and says there will be an entrance fee.
The general entrance fee is going to be $6 for anyone who is just showing up. Anybody who's wearing a letter shirt can get in for $4, and the price for groups is going to be $35.
The competition doesn't come without rules. There are certain requirements that must be met in order to participate.
You're going to prepare a song. It can be no longer than 6 minutes. It has to have a very limited vulgarity because we don't know who all is going to be there. You know, there could be a family. It's supposed to be a family setting. And basically, you prepare the song and you come in and you sing it. You can have a backtrack or you can do it a cappella.
The Spring Sing Showcase already has participants signed up and ready to sing. Kanagenhelm says that Phi Mu Alpha is in the process of spreading word of the event all around campus.
So far, we know that two groups for certain are going to participate, and then we are also getting in contact with all of the other Greek life, and we're trying to get in contact with some of the clubs. The president of the Panhellenic sororities is supposed to be sending out a message to all of them here shortly, so we're hoping that we can get that underway too.
According to Kanagenhelm, fraternities and sororities aren't the only groups on campus allowed to participate in the showcase.
All groups are welcome. It's not just Greek life. It can be any kind of club or any kind of organization, as long as they are affiliated and registered with MSU.
The fraternity hosting the event won't be getting any kind of advantage over other participants. In fact, Kanagenhelm says they will be observing the competition from the sidelines.
Phi Mu Alpha, as the music fraternity, where we're putting it on, we're not going to be competing. We're actually going to be kind of like the halftime entertainment while the judges are wrapping up their final decisions and everything. If there is like a club or an organization or a group that is of music students, I'm sure that they could perform as long as they pay the fee and, you know, they're affiliated with MSU.
Other than showcasing your voice to the campus community, Kanagenhelm says big motivators for many participants will be the thrill of competing and the glory of winning.
There will be some bragging rights. There will be about 5 different rewards, best men's, best women's, best overall, stuff like that. So there will be some bragging rights within all of the fraternities. There will be 5 judges on the panel that are going to be non-biased.
Spring Sing Showcase will be held in Button Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. April 26th. To pre-register and let your voice be heard, email Joseph Kanagenhelm at jakanagenhelm@moorheadstate.edu or Dylan Pierce at dgpierce@moorheadstate.edu. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 4:49 and 45 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
Another tough road. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is none too pleased with the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee's decision to make his Wildcats the number 5 seed in the South Regional. With the Cats winning the SEC Tournament Championship on Sunday in St. Louis, Calipari believes they deserve better than that. UK is scheduled to play Davidson on Thursday in Boise, Idaho. Kelly Perry says he knew the committee wasn't going to make it easy for the Big Blue.
I always say when you misseed somebody, you're not hurting that person or his team. It's who he plays. It's who you hurt. That's Wichita State. Just, you know, this is what it is. But I like how my team's playing, and we're going to go play some basketball games in Boise.
This will be UK's 57th NCAA tournament. The Cats are 46-10 in tournament openers. Meanwhile, Kentucky will likely be without Jared Vanderbilt when they begin their NCAA tournament run in Boise later this week. Vanderbilt suffered a foot injury last week in practice, which caused him to miss the SEC tournament. Coach Calipari says Vanderbilt is wanting to play again, but Cal does not yet feel comfortable putting him on the floor. Cal says if Kentucky advances to the Sweet 16 next weekend, Vanderbilt would likely play in that game. Murray State's racers are looking forward to lacing up their dancing shoes. Coach Matt McMahon's OVC champs will take part in the NCAA tournament's East Regional as the 12th seed.
It's the third highest seed in the history of this great program, and I think that says a lot about our players and this year's team. I think very deserving, the top 50 RPI team, the way our guys were able to finish the season 13-0 and winning the regular season and then the tournament championship.
The 26-5 racers will face 5th seed West Virginia on Friday in San Diego. The University of Louisville did not make the cut for the NCAA tournament, but was selected as a 2-seed in the NIT and are scheduled to host Northern Kentucky tomorrow at the Yum Center. However, it's unclear if the Cardinals will actually play. According to the Louisville Courier-Journal, the Louisville players voted they did not want to accept the bid into the NIT and participate in the tournament, but the administrators accepted the bid anyway. However, because of that, some reports suggest the players are now considering boycotting the game on Tuesday. The final AP Top 25 poll is out. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has more on that.
Virginia received all 65 first-place votes to remain the top team in the poll for the fifth consecutive week. The four number one seeds are the top four teams in the poll, with Villanova, Xavier, and Kansas coming in behind Virginia. Michigan State comes in at number five in the poll, but is ranked as a number three seed in the tournament. Cincinnati, Michigan, Gonzaga, Duke, and North Carolina round out the top 10. Kentucky comes in at number 18 in this week's poll after being unranked in last week's. Tennessee, Auburn, and Florida join Kentucky in the poll from the SEC. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Some coaching notes from college basketball. Arizona Associate Head Coach Lorenzo Romar has accepted the Pepperdine head coaching job. Former Louisville coach Rick Pitino is reportedly being considered by UConn after they fired head coach Kevin Ollie over the weekend. And Georgia head coach Mark Fox was fired following the team's loss to Kentucky in the SEC tournament. Former Ohio State head coach Thad Motter reportedly met with school administrators today to discuss the job. Rick Pitino has also reportedly been a possible candidate for Georgia as well. The Women's Basketball Invitational will be announcing its field tonight. Morehead State coach Greg Todd remains hopeful that his 21-11 Eagles will get a bid into the event's 16-team field.
They have contacted me multiple times, but I'm not sure the status, you know, exactly of where we are. And number one, if financially it's something that we're able to do. So that's still a little bit up in the air.
First round WBI games will be held this Wednesday and Thursday at various sites. The Morehead State baseball team returns to Allen Field tomorrow to host Jackson State at 4 p.m. in the opener of a two-game series. Coach Mike McGuire's 7-8 MSU squad will be looking to bounce back after dropping 2 of 3 weekend OVC games at Southeast Missouri State.
We were ready to play all weekend. They outplayed us the first two games. And, you know, there's a fine line to winning and losing ball games, and, you know, we found that out.
Jackson State is 11-3 this season and has won 8 games in a row. The Cincinnati Reds are waiting for a report on the seriousness of an injury to left-hander Brandon Finnegan. Manager Brian Price says Finnegan was taken out of Sunday's spring training start against Seattle after developing a problem with his forearm.
Right now, you know, when you're not going right to a joint, you know, the elbow or the shoulder, in an acute soreness, you hope it's muscular and that they can get the inflammation out of there and get him back throwing in relatively short order. So we'll see.
Finnegan is the second Red starter to go down in the last few days. Anthony DeSclafani is out indefinitely after sustaining a strained oblique, an injury that sidelined him for a few months in 2016. After picking up 2 home wins against Kinesis over the weekend, the Morehead State softball team moved to 15-4 on the year, the program's best start since 2008. Coach David Williams is pleased with his team's performance so far this season.
I mean, it's important anytime you get wins. It's really nice considering it's the first time we got to play at home. So to sweep your home opener is really important. You want to protect your home field, and we were able to do that. You know, right now we're just trying to keep the good play going, and any chance we get to get on the field, we want to make the most of it.
MSU travels to Huntington to battle Marshall tomorrow. The Herd are 9-13-1 on the year. Finally, in sports, some notes from the NFL. The Miami Dolphins are planning to release defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. The Arizona Cardinals are expected to release running back Adrian Peterson. And starting safety Ron Parker was released by the Kansas City Chiefs, the team announced today. And linebacker Tamba Haley will also be cut, according to ESPN. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Baseball welcomes Belmont for 3 games this weekend, Friday at 3, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1. Also this weekend, softball hosts the Eagle Classic featuring East Tennessee State, Oakland, and Toledo. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The market today took a step back as investors worried that a trade war could develop after President Donald Trump implemented tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 157.13 at 25,178.61. The S&P 500 was down 3.55 at 2783.02. The NASDAQ Composite was up 27.51. on strength in big tech, finishing at 7588.33. That is a new all-time closing high for the NASDAQ. Earlier, the Dow was up more than 100 points as shares of Apple and Goldman Sachs reached all-time highs. And as mentioned last week, the president did implement a 25% tariff on steel imports and a 10% charge on aluminum imports. However, Canada and Mexico, two key U.S. trade partners, were excluded from the tariffs, but investors worried that other countries could retaliate by imposing tariffs on U.S. goods. The NASDAQ, as mentioned, helped out by Apple, recovering basically all of its losses from last month's correction, as it was up 1% today. Amazon also hit an all-time high, trading above $1,600 a share for the very first time. Analysts today said in a note that Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One movie could be a catalyst for both NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices. It was said that the movie will drive sales of VR headsets that require high-performance GPUs from NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices. NVIDIA stock was up almost 2% today, although Advanced Micro Devices dropped 1.5%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.1% at $61.37 a barrel. Gold was up 20 cents at $1,324.20 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.25%. In Asia, stocks were also very strong, with the Nikkei up 1.65% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong finishing up almost 2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were GE and Apple. The worst performers were Boeing and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Micron Technology and Newell Brands, and the worst performers were Cooper Companies and Cigna. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 10 cents at 72.72, CSX down 41 cents at 57.59, AEP up 22 cents at 65.87, Marathon Petroleum down 94 cents at 69.28, AK Steel was up 9 cents at 5.36, and Community Trust Bank was unchanged at 47.60. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Greg Jenkins, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, Peyton Stewart, Tilden Johnson, and Braxton Howard. KNN's Haley Hansen and Hilliard Lions' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's Cody Robinson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindbergh and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.